And notice, if you will, verse number 3, Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And let's notice, if you will, once again that verse, "Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Those words there I want to take as the text, "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." You might imagine the disciples being told to behold, and they could look about them and see the situation. "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." I want to preach for a little while on this subject, lambs living in the land of wolves. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 1 of chapter number 10. "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Now here we have where Jesus Christ was sending out this group of men, these 70, two and two. And here we have there at the beginning, in fact, even before he gets into the details of the instructions for this particular mission, he gives them that warning, "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." We have some similar scripture in the book of Matthew, and chapter number 10, where Jesus Christ sent forth the 12 disciples. Matthew chapter number 10, and beginning with verse number 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Then in verse 21 of chapter number 10 of Matthew, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death." Then if you look in Matthew chapter number 10 and beginning with verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household." In Matthew chapter number 10, over half of the chapter deals with warnings and instructions related to persecution. Jesus Christ was sending out His disciples, and He spoke to them in a very similar way to what He said to the 70 that He sent out. In Matthew 10, beginning with verse number 16, once again, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." And so there's so much scripture there in that particular chapter in which Jesus Christ was instructing those disciples, preparing them for a time of persecution. Now, I realize that in our day, in our position, in America, we might look about us and say, the wolves don't seem so bad today. And it might seem as though it doesn't seem so dangerous anymore. And if we are behind those fences, we might look out at the wolves of the world and think to ourselves, they look so social and they look so playful, and it just seems like we could just go out there and mix with them. We wouldn't have any problems being lambs among the wolves. And I think sometimes people are fooled. Now, thank God for all the fences that we have today. In the history, of course, it tells us about how that there were those that came from London. They were persecuted in London, and they went to Holland. Even in Holland, there was persecution and there were hardships there, and they left Holland and they came over to America, and they settled here, and there were so many hardships here, but at least there was a freedom here. And so they fled because of persecution. Now, after a while, of course, there was even persecution among the states early along, And finally, our founders, and thank God for the wisdom that they had, they put up some fences, as it might be said, some fences in the form of the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. There were some things put in place that even today, I believe, are helping to hold back the attacks that might come upon a church. And thank the Lord for all the influence that Christianity has had over the years, not only in America, but throughout the world. And I do believe that Christianity has had a good effect throughout the world. And I think because of that, we are not seeing the persecution that we could see if there was not the influence of Christianity and some fences that have been put up over the years. If a man has started his own business, and in his own business perhaps he has control over the much of the atmosphere in his business, and then if a mother, for instance, she has homeschooled her children, and she has an atmosphere in the home, a good Christian atmosphere in the home, there's a good Christian family there, and then we might think about children that have grown up in a Christian home, having good Christian influences, gone to a good church. Sometimes I think, and especially young people, I think, that have grown up in that atmosphere, they might have a little hard time seeing how dangerous it is out there, and how much they need to be aware of men and to watch out for the wolves in this world. If we are what we ought to be, we're going to be lambs in this world of wolves. And there are going to be so many that would like to do the devil's work and would like to bring us down. Do not forget, the first wolf attack, the Bible tells us about Cain killed Abel. All attacks are not physical, but still, there's that first wolf attack, and later on the Bible said, "Marvel not if the world hates you." I think perhaps one of the reasons why we don't undergo any more persecution than we do is because we don't take any more of a stand than we do. I'm speaking generally about, we just might think about believers in general. I think so often believers, we're avoiding opportunities for persecution. And sometimes it might be so simple as you need to give that person a tract, and the person looks intimidating, and therefore we decide, I don't want to give that person a tract. I'm afraid of that person. And sometimes we may miss opportunities where perhaps the person would be mean to us. Mean to us. Could you imagine somebody in China hearing that? Well, I haven't given him a tract because he may frown. Now, he may be facing the death penalty, but he may close the door in my face. But I think sometimes we avoid opportunities for persecution. We should be lambs living in this world of wolves. That was the Lord. It was the Lord that gave us these words, "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Thank the Lord that at that time, the disciples had some freedom. And you just look in the Gospels at what they did, where they went. They did have some freedom. I'm not saying they were under Roman rule. That is true. And there was the Jewish religious system. And so there were things that were against them, but they had some freedom to go about and do the work of the Lord. And yet even with all that freedom, the Lord told them that He was sending them out as lambs among wolves. Of course, Satan is still at work today. And Satan would like to bring believers down, believers that are truly trying to serve the Lord, he would like to bring them down. In our day, I think perhaps we are seeing some of that viciousness come to light. I know in the past, when there's such a strong Christian influence in America, and there are those fences in place, as it might be said, people might have looked out and thought, well, I just don't see where it's so dangerous out there. But in our day, you may begin to see. In fact, there's the Antifa, the rise in the left of the Antifa, and the bitterness and the hatred against those that stand for things that are right, things that are as basic as protecting a baby, Things that are as basic as standing up for the fact that men ought to marry women and women ought to marry men and ought not be otherwise. Men taking stands for just basic morality can find themselves facing great criticism and attacks. We're to be as lambs living in the land of wolves and not be lulled to sleep because it seems like right now in our place and our situation, it is relatively peaceful. The Lord, of course, knew about wolves and He knew about lambs. I found it interesting that there were so many accounts of wolf attacks. This one might interest Chris. August the 9th, 2019, a wolf attempted to drag a New Jersey man out of his tent where he slept with his wife and two young sons. July 24th, 2019, a woman opened the door to let her dog out. Let her dog in. The dog was followed by a wolf which attacked her. July 28, 2019, a wolf wounded four residents in a village. February 14, 2019, several people injured. February 21st, 2019, five members of a family injured. And you can go on back through history. There's so many accounts of wolf attacks. Let me go way back. July 23rd, 1777, seized by a wolf, dragged into a wheat field. His body was found with the belly and chest torn open and cuts to the head, a 7-year-old. July 13, 1777, a 9-year-old, fatally bitten in the throat. July 21st, 1765, in northern Italy, one female wolf bit 16 people as well as several dogs and horses. June 1764 through June 19, 1767, in France, a singular pair of abnormal wolves killed 113 people. In total, there were 210 attacks. 49 people were wounded. It's recorded, I think it was in 2011, that there was an extremely large wolf pack of 400 wolves, and they killed 30 horses in 4 days. Now, when you read those statistics or those accounts, you may think, well, wolves could be extremely dangerous. The four-legged wolves are not nearly as dangerous as the two-legged ones. There's a real danger out here that we would be brought down by the two-legged wolves. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Acts chapter number 20, verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." It's interesting, when the Lord is speaking about those two-legged wolves, He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." I don't believe you find that in the wild. I don't believe you find a wild wolf. Now, you may see it on the old Roadrunner show, but you don't see it in the wild where the wild wolf takes on the sheep's clothing and slips into the flock. But you can find that in our day when there is a two-legged wolf that acts like a sheep, talks like a sheep, slips into the midst of the sheep, and carries some away. Now, don't forget, there is the devil, which does go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But that is not always the approach of the devil. The Bible talks about the devil being transformed into an angel of light. And so he may take more than one approach, and sometimes he may seem so vicious and ferocious, and at other times he may seem to be your friend. And then there are those that are followers of the devil that would like to bring you down, and sometimes and in some circumstances it might be better for them not to be vicious and ferocious physically and even verbally, but perhaps to drag you down to take hold of you and pull you down, to pull you away from Christ. Now, whether we accept it or not, or realize it or not, we are to be like lambs living in the land of wolves. And so I'm going to go through a few lessons for lambs. Number one, lambs are not greater than the Lamb of God. In fact, we're less than the Lamb of God. He's the greatest. And so we should not expect to be treated better than the Lamb of God was treated, should we? It is a fact, if we are a follower of the Lamb of God, that we may find ourselves under persecution. John chapter number 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I have said unto you, this servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But if they persecuted Christ, they will also persecute you. We shouldn't expect better treatment than the Lamb of God, should we? If we are to live like the Lamb of God and then we get treated like the Lamb of God, should that really be any surprise to us? Number one, in suffering. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We are to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, and as we follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, we shall suffer persecution. Now, as I speak about the fences, with all the things that we have in this country, thank the Lord, we may not suffer like some people suffer, but still, if we live for the Lord, we should just expect to suffer some persecution. And so we might think about being like the Lamb in suffering, but then also in service, and we should be like the Lamb of God in service, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be living like the Lord lived? And notice this scripture. After Jesus washed His disciples' feet, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now, if the Lord suffered, should we think ourselves too good to suffer? And if the Lord served in such a humiliating, as it might be said, way, as washing the disciples' feet, should we think that too much for us? To have lowly service that perhaps some people would not take, would not accept, should we think ourselves so good that we can't do those things because that's just beneath us? Well, it wasn't beneath the very Son of God to wash His disciples' feet. And so, as we live like the Lamb, let us not ever think that we are better than the Lamb and deserve better treatment than the Lamb and better positions than the Lamb and better service than the Lamb. We're to follow the Lamb and do the will of the Lamb as we live here. I want to tell you this, though, and this may seem somewhat contradictory. You're to be as a lamb in the land of wolves, but don't forget this. You have a wolf nature. You can go along living like a lamb, following the Lamb, serving the Lamb, and then all of a sudden there can be persecution that comes, or you can be asked to do some service that you think is beneath you, and all of a sudden the wolf nature may come forth. We haven't been changed. That hasn't been taken away. It's still there. And it should be that on the outside, and it should be as far as our life is concerned, we are submitted to the Lamb and living like the Lamb. But there's always the danger of that wolf nature showing itself. Imagine if you went into a little gentle lamb and the lamb was in there bleeding, and so you decide, I need to take care of some things with this lamb. I need to medicate it or whatever the case is. You got in the pen with it. You were there with it. And you started to do something for the lamb. And what if all of a sudden you heard a snarl and a snap, and you looked around and you thought, I thought I was in here with a lamb. It sounds like a wolf. You can be with a person that has lived for God and served God. You can be with a person that's been humble. And yet sometimes if something arises, and they don't like it, all of a sudden the wolf nature may show up again. We ought to be continually and always like the lamb in the midst of the wolves. If you're not careful, when you come under persecution, if the wolves attack, there can be that danger of reacting like a wolf in return. There can be that danger of falling back, using the old ways of fighting against people attacking you instead of using the whole armor of God and taking the stand in the way you ought to take the stand. There can be the danger that you'll start acting like a wolf. Doesn't the Scripture say something about not biting and devouring one another? Yes, sometimes you may have somebody in the church acts like a wolf and somebody in the church acts like a wolf back. There's that danger of that wolf nature showing itself. Then number two, lambs by nature are followers. I believe that's the way God made them, to be followers. John chapter number 10 and verse number 45, the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We are to follow Him. We are to get to know the voice, to know the voice of our Savior. There is the Spirit within us that knows the voice, and yet through the studying of the Word, it can help us also to recognize the voice of the Shepherd. For security, we need to learn to recognize, to know the voice of the Shepherd. And sometimes there can be competing voices. Sometimes we may think we hear something from the Shepherd, but we're just not sure, and there's something that is contrary to that. By studying the Word of God and submitting to the Spirit of God, we can recognize the voice of the Shepherd. We're made to be followers. We need to be led. Number one, for security. Number two, for sustenance. Psalm 23 and verse number 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so, we're to follow the Lord so that we can receive the feed that we need as a sheep. He is our feeder. He is our leader. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is our feeder. He is our leader. And as we follow Him, we can receive the spiritual sustenance that we need so that we can serve Him as we ought to serve Him. The old reading about sheep and about sheep being led, can be led by a bucket of feed. I don't know how many animals that's common among. Once they get to know a white bucket, you walk out with a white bucket, they may come to you. And if you are a sheep and you love being fed from the Word of God, that can be a great help to you going the right direction. If you love to hear the truth, and maybe sometimes the truth is somewhat uncomfortable, still, you love the truth, that can make a great difference to you staying on track. Then, lambs should stay on the narrow way of holiness. This came from a Agricultural Council of Saskatchewan on sheep, and I thought this was interesting. Sheep will move better through long, narrow pens and chutes rather than square pens and wide chutes. We lambs are to stay on the narrow way. The world is on the broad way that leads to destruction. But we that are lambs are to stay on that narrow way. And that's the best place for us. That's where we do the best, staying on the narrow way, following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, lambs should accept that the uphill way is the best way. We just had a Higher Ground conference in the summer, and the uphill way is the best way. Always gaining ground, always drawing closer to the Lord, always desiring to be more like Christ, the upward way is the best way for we that are lambs. I came across this. Sheep move better on a flat surface or uphill. I found that to be interesting. They move better on a flat surface or uphill. At the very least, we ought to be staying with that which we know is right. And then we should also be reaching for higher ground, wanting to go higher with God. We do better that way. You start going downhill, you may stumble. In fact, you will stumble. You start going downhill. Always be going upward, upward. I preached a while back on the upward way, the upward way. And that's the way we're to be going, is upward, looking up, building up, and thank God we'll be going up. It's the upward way. Then let me say as well, lambs should know that wolves kill and chase sometimes just for the sport. Out there in the world sometimes people, they really may not have a good reason, they really may not have anything against you, but it could just be that it's in them. It's that nature they have within them. When you stand for what is right, they stand against you. And then if they can get some others to join with them, like a pack of wolves, they may come against you, attacking you and attacking you, really for no good reason. I think so often, when someone attacks a Christian, that if he didn't know the person was a Christian, and let's just say they were neighbors or perhaps they worked together, but if the person did not know he was a Christian, he may get along fine with him. But when that Christian starts to take some stands for things that are good and right and tries to present the gospel, all of a sudden the wolf nature may really show itself in one that is contrary to the will and way of God. And then let me say as well that lambs should not show fear in the face of wolves. In that Matthew chapter number 10 passage, the one that I spoke of having over half of the passage, over half of the chapter, dealing with things in relationship to persecution, instructions about persecution, telling about the disciples, they were to expect to be persecuted. In the midst of that, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, fear them not. Matthew 10, 31, fear ye not. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I was reading about wolves, and I found it interesting. It seemed that there's something called the conversation of death, where when they have a potential prey, they may look at that prey, and the prey look at them, and so they may exchange their stares. And it might even be that during that time that the decision is made whether to attack or not. But one of the things that would be so dangerous for the prey is for the prey to decide to run. Back when I was a boy, I had a dog that had wandered up. And one of the things that just, if I started running, that dog may come after me and attack me. And in fact, perhaps you've seen it in the past where maybe you came into a strange yard, there was a dog there. And you might walk into the yard facing the dog, and the dog not attack you, but then when you turn around, the dog attack you. And so, I think it's in that nature, and with the wolf, I believe there's something about it. I'm talking about the two-legged wolf. I believe there can be something about it when the child of God shows fear, instead of standing up for what's right, goes on the run. In the Scopes monkey trial, there was the man that was a champion, as it might be said, on the on the stand, and the one that was against him, Mr. Clarence Darrow, was against him, and Mr. Williams Jennings Bryan on the stand. Mr. Williams Jennings Bryan, and perhaps he did not know, whatever the case, he started backing down on a six-day creation. He started backing down. He wouldn't take a strong stand on the six-day creation. When you start backing down on what you know is right, then the wolf may see that as an opportunity to attack. I came across this. Wolves react to how the prey reacts first. And it has been shown that they seem to need the stimulus of prey running away to start chasing after him. If you ever go on the run, you may find yourselves chased. You may find yourselves attacked. We as lambs, even though we're lambs, and you might say we're so defenseless, don't forget, you have the Lamb. You have the Lamb of God with you. But we, even though we're lambs, we are not to show fear. We are not to show cowardice. But we are to stand in all things to stand, having done all things to stand. Take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. And thank God, by the grace of God, we can stand, even in the face of the attack of the wolves. Then let me say as well, that lambs do not, from what I've read, lambs do not like moving into the darkness. They do not like moving into the darkness. The sheep don't like moving into the darkness. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's where we ought to be all the time anyway, is in the light, in the light. And there is a part of you, if you're saved by the grace of God, there's a part of you that does not like the spiritual darkness. There's a part of you that's fine with it. The old wolf nature is fine being in the dark. But as a lamb of God, as a lamb, a child of God, as a lamb, there's a part of you that does not like the dark. We want the light that comes from walking with Christ. And then last of all, let us all remember that there shall be a day in which the Lamb of God shall rule upon the earth. And in fact, I was just dealing with this morning. The Bible talks about the fact that the earth shall be sowed with good seed. And so we might say there's coming a time in which the Lamb of God shall rule and reign with a rod of iron. And instead of being lambs in the world of wolves, we'll be lambs in the world of the Lamb, where the Lamb is ruling. The Lamb is over all. There'll be just a whole host of us lambs that gather together in the one place. And then imagine later on when some of those wolves are born and they live in an earth which the Lamb of God rules with a rod of iron. And the lambs are in control. Now, for so many years, that's not the way it's been. For so many years, when a person was born again, they were born again into the world of wolves. But it's not going to be that day, that way one day when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Some lessons for lambs. You and I are to be lambs in the land of wolves. This is their land, as it might be said. We might say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. No, this is the home of wolves right now. It'll change, though. The meek shall inherit the earth. The Lamb shall be over the earth. And thank the Lord, there's going to be a great change and a good change coming. Well, if you will, please stand.